This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. Scott Simon is away. I'm John Idstein.
In the days and months to come, I will dedicate myself to undo the hurt I have caused and will do all that I can to contribute to a society where every American has an opportunity to succeed. As a man of faith in a local church here, I read the Bible all my life. I now more fully understand the psalm that says, "A broken spirit, a contrite and humbled heart."
Mississippi Republican Senator Trent Lott speaking Friday at a press conference in Pascagoula. Senator Lott is apologizing for remarks he made last week in which he said that the United States would have been better off had Strom Thurmond won his bid for the presidency in 1948. Mr. Thurmond ran on a segregationist platform. Members of both political parties have called for Senator Lott to step down as majority leader. NPR's senior news analyst Dan Shore joins us to talk about this story and a full week of resignations. Hi, Dan.
Hi, John. Looks like regime change all over.
That's right. Is the fourth apology a charm for Mr. Lott? Is he likely to survive this storm of criticism now?
Well, he seems to have more apologies still to come, including one next week before the Black Entertainment Network. Can he save his Senate leadership? Well, he could survive denunciation by the Democrats. That would be easy. What he could not survive would be a decision by his colleagues that he has made himself a liability to the Republicans, who have been working very hard to make inroads among Black and other minority voters. What Senator Lott did, in effect, was to recall a bad old time when Republicans pursued the so-called Southern strategy, meaning a Southern white strategy, the days of white backlash, the days of campaigns against school busing. That is not the party that the Republicans today want to be, and it's some of the most conservative commentators, not to mention the president, who have condemned him for it. You know, John, I think back to Senator Joe McCarthy and Nixon were only really threatened when their natural allies, Republican senators, turned against them. Can Lott ride this one out, as he'll apparently try to do? If the Republicans, especially in the Senate, are so attached to him that they would risk losing minority votes in future elections, then yes, but I think he's still in trouble.
Does the White House want him to stay as majority leader? The president was awfully critical of him in Philadelphia this week.
Well, the president rebuked him, and I think what the president is saying, in effect, is the White House said they're not seeking his resignation, which is what the White House says at times like this. It was a little bit like saying to President Trent, what you did was really terrible and very harmful to our party, and now you decide what you want to do.
Former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger surprised a lot of people yesterday when he resigned his appointment to lead the National Commission on Terror Attacks.
Yeah.
Mr. Kissinger is unwilling to disclose the names of his business clients, a requirement for the job. So he's decided to resign. What do you make of it?
Well, as usual with Dr. Kissinger, it gets very, very murky. As usual, he tries to negotiate a compromise. So apparently at one point he said to the victims' families, 9/11 victims' families, that yes, he would reveal the names of his clients to one person whom they would designate. But that person had to agree to keep it secret. That then, however, ran into a congressional requirement that you have to disclose all sources of income over $5,000 if you're working for Congress. Kissinger said he couldn't do that because he had promised confidentiality to his clients, people like Coca-Cola and others. I only know the name of one of his many fairly well-heeled clients. All I can say is, over the years, when the issue is whether it's secrecy or disclosure, you know where Dr. Kissinger will end up.
Former Senator George Mitchell also departed from the commission this week, saying he didn't want to sever ties with his law firm.
Right.
And former Congressman Lee Hamilton will now become the leading Democrat on the commission.
Right.
How far back does this set the commission's work?
Well, you know, they've spent 3 or 4 weeks now trying to form their commission. The Democrats have their 5 members appointed, including, as you said, Lee Hamilton, who will be the vice chairman. Republicans still have to fill out their slate. Talk of ex-governor Jim Thompson of Illinois, maybe, Carla Hills, the former trade representative are mentioned as possibility. But clearly, you spend weeks just trying to form the commission. It doesn't sound as though you're going full speed ahead.
Mm-hmm. We've got another big resignation in the news this week. Pope John Paul II has accepted Cardinal Bernard Law's resignation as the Archbishop of Boston. For a while, it looked as though Cardinal Law might be able to hang on to his post. What do you think finally turned the tables in Boston?
Well, you think about this. This is Cardinal Law, who is a senior cardinal in America. And if I remember, he used to be mentioned now and then as the one who might be the first American pope. Mm-hmm. And now look, I think what in the end did him in was the pressure of the Catholic laity to begin with. And then in some of the files that were unearthed in the course of the suits filed by victims, you found that Cardinal Law, you would take these pedophile priests and shift them around from one parish to another, protecting them and never seeming to want to do anything about them. What happened is that in the end, Cardinal Law was held responsible for a course of action in which the image of the hierarchy seemed to be more important than the victims of the priests.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of regime change, it's been a week now since Iraq delivered its 12,000-page declaration of weapons data, an event the New York Times has described as the last off-ramp along the road to war. UN inspectors and Security Council members are analyzing this document. How far from war do you think we are?
Well, the last off-ramp. American officials have been looking at the document, which they managed to get a little earlier than they were supposed to get it, and they've concluded that Saddam Hussein did not take that exit ramp, that there are significant omissions in the document, that he fails to account for chemical and biological agents that are missing and have been missing since the inspectors left Iraq 4 years ago, fails to account for some purchases of uranium and other possibly related items to a nuclear program, and that therefore, as far as they are concerned, he has failed that test and not taken that ramp, and the United States is edging, I think, closer and closer to war.
And earlier today, reports that Iraqi jets violated the southern no-fly zone and U.S. flyers attacked three positions there.
Right, and that's important because the United States takes the position that shooting at our petroleum planes in the no-fly zones is itself a breach of the UN resolution. And yesterday, apparently, Iraqi fighters tried to lure American planes into a kind of a trap where SAM missiles could reach them. And so I think things are getting tenser and tenser.
Turning to North Korea, another member of the so-called Axis of Evil, North Korea announced that it is reactivating a nuclear reactor, which had been mothballed since a 1994 agreement with the United States. Why is North Korea backing out of this agreement now?
Well, it's very complicated because the United States backed out of an agreement to supply fuel oil, an agreement that was signed during the Clinton administration, and that would provide they would deactivate it, they would get safer reactors and also fuel oil. And then because of the fact that they admitted at one point having a nuclear weapons program, what then happened was that the Bush administration decided to cancel the shipments of the oil. If the oil was supposed to be a quid pro quo, keep those reactors activated, they certainly had a right to say we need some power, and if we need some power, the only way we can now get it in the absence of your fuel oil is to go back to using the power from our own reactors.
Thanks, Dan.
Sure.
NPR's senior news analyst, Dan Shore.